we're going to take a look at the two meanings of the word deny. To deny yourself or to deny Christ, and there are two different meanings of the word. So let's go to Matthew 13, I think. No, Matthew 10. Let's start verse 16. We're going to read for a while. Anybody here?
Behold.
Are you okay?
I'm good.
You're good?
Ready to go.
All right. Did you get upset at what I said to you this morning?
I did not.
Okay.
So let's go.
Behold, verse 16, Matthew 10. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, or their churches, really. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought of what you shall speak, or what it shall be given you in that same hour, what you shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. When they persecute you in this city, flee you to another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. We're back again in this arena to what it means when you shall be hated of all men. In our culture, we're not hated by anybody. We're either, as believers, we're either considered fools or some other thing, but there's no hate. The hate comes when we become a threat. You understand that? When you are a threat to their way of thinking, that's when you're hated.
I also think you can be feared as well as hated.
Maybe. All right, anyway. The disciple, in verse 24, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and his servant as his lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak you in light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach you in the household, in the housetops. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the earth, on the ground, without your father, or without his doing it, is what it means. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear you not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Now the deny there is a pretty strong. What does it mean there to deny him? Anybody?
I don't know. I guess to deny him is to worship you.
Yeah, to deny him is to think you exist. Everybody buy that?
Oh, yeah.
So how often do you deny him a day? To deny him is to live by something other than by faith. If there's something in this you don't understand or don't agree with, let's talk about it, because this is as big as it, for a disciple, this is important as it exists, as it, like, it's beyond the word important.
I find that I deny him when the day can go smoothly, and possibly I'm just living by faith, and then when a problem arises, boom, got to return to my mind and either talk about it and get some sort of emotional support, or I've got to fix it instead of just saying, hey, this is what's set before me, don't worry about it.
Well, most of the modern church is denying Christ. And the reason, the way they deny him is because, well, the success theology denies him completely. But to not deny him for us means to come to an issue, whatever it is, and be solving it without waiting on faith. So that's how we deny him, because either we're not living by faith, by his faith, or we are. We believe we exist and have to do something about it. Now, think on what that means in terms of your daily life.
For me, at times it creates a whirlpool every day, a whirlpool of angst and guilt or worry or over analysis.
Well, any analysis at all.
Yeah, I never do that.
Yeah. As opposed to being, when you're engaged in your mental constructs, as righteous as they may seem, you're not being, you're denying.
You're denying him his life,
yeah.
In you.
So being is spontaneous and living.
Right, but being sees no past or future. Being is just now. I mean, this is the most difficult thing there is.
I read the second part where it said, if you deny him, he will deny you before the Father.
That's right, that's the whole point.
It's a big...
That's why this scripture, the meaning of deny, is so important. Because how soon and how quickly we deny him. Because we come into the picture and we have to do something and we have to solve something and we have to fix something and we have to whatever.
And perhaps a common interpretation might be, well, I better go out and say Jesus to everybody. So I don't know. So God will know I'm not denying you.
Well, that's not it's maybe, but in context. The way to say this is to see this one deal, that if you think you have something to do, then you're denying him. If you have some issue that you have to solve, you're denying him. And the reason is because it's not of faith. We can say it's of faith, But if your mind comes into the transaction, it's denying him. And this is the, to me, this is the hardest saying there is in the Bible. Because everything in you says it's that's stupid. I have to lean on my own arm of understanding. But this is where the tire meets the road in our lives as disciples. So, just to read it,
we're kind of wired for immediate solutions or immediate gratification, which is basically flies in the face.
Right. You're wired for you.
Right.
That's what happened at the fall. You're wired for self-awareness. And if you have self-awareness, then you have responsibilities. And so, I mean, the reason this sounds so strange is it's so rare. I've often taught for years, maybe, but I don't know if anybody here remembers it, but with regard to issues between, especially in a family, or the wife or the husband, if the husband empties himself, he creates a vacuum, it alters his life, and it alters the life of everybody around him. Because you've created a vacuum. And but rather than, I have so many people that come to me and they've got problems with husband and wife. I mean, that's most of the issues for the bodies with all the married people. Now, not every one of them, but it comes down to some issue that the husband and wife disagree massively. Most of the time, are massively in their minds. And so it's the husband's job, because we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Well, there's nothing that could take place in your life with regard to husband and wife, or husband and children, or wife. Because if you look at how Christ loved the church, there can be no place where you're right as the husband. Again, you deny him in that issue by thinking you have an issue, a problem, rather than emptying and creating the vacuum, which that releases the Holy Spirit. But I've said this so long it's become a cliche. He will not occupy where you are. That's his humility. So wherever you are in any situation, then what's you're not loving as Christ loved the church. And that's without exception. I mean, it's in every relationship you can possibly have.
So you're saying a repentant husband, all that flows from him, love, wisdom, whatever it is Christ flowing from him to his wife?
Well, that's not my business. I'm saying, though, that we are to create the vacuum. What the effect of that vacuum is God's business.
It's kind of an interesting talk here, in that you can't say, on one hand, I will never tell anyone what to do, and then say, create a vacuum so that you will be successful in loving your wife. Something else that said. And as I'm hearing this, it's all that a husband can know is to pick up the cross or deny self It's this strange arena of to-dos or not to-dos.
Well, a to-do...
It's to-be or not to-be.
To be or not to be.
Yeah, it's the... You know, when I've said it often, if I ever tell you what to do, shoot me. I'm not talking about what the Bible is going on. I'm talking about preaching the cross. Preaching the cross constantly says repent. There's never a place almost where you can say where you don't repent. Because repent has its basic meaning to us. Repent is the recognition of your burial, death and burial. And so you're never there. So I hope you understand whatever I said. Don't, if I ever tell you what to do, that I'm talking about the things in the world. This is the spiritual meaning. This is the meaning of the cross. This is the meaning of whether you do it or not is not my business. Do you understand that? The cross is always preached, and the cross is always your death and burial. And anything else, you're denying him. This is as big as it gets in terms of how you live your life on a day-to-day, hour-by-hour, second-by-second basis. Because I promise you, at every issue, your mind will try to resurrect itself.
It's trying to now.
Right, you're trying to... I mean, it's natural. You're trying to find a out. That's why you search the scriptures to see whether these things be true, not your mind. Your mind will always deny the mystery of the cross. Because your mind is hardwired towards self-awareness, therefore self-realization. So self has to always be in the picture.
So expect it.
Well, to expect it and let it be is the worst thing you can do.
Yeah, no, not let it be, though, but don't be surprised when it happens.
Right, that's what it be not...
Yeah, because it will happen, it does happen, but as we are aware... We don't yield ourselves to it, I think, is
Well, if you're aware of it, there's only one solution. Repentance.
Turning, yeah.
Revenge the disobedience.
Right. Revenge your disobedience. You count it the highest joy when you come to the place where you have no answers. And you fall into diverse testings. There's probably no testing greater than the relationship between a husband and a wife.
Yeah.
You can either be silent, and that's the coward's way, or you can discuss it openly. But the end result will always be, from the husband's standpoint, it will always come back to emptiness. And to confess that to your wife will have more power than anything else you could say. But it's not just your wife, it's in any relationship, any place where you're judging somebody down or thinking you're right. So this is what this meaning, remember, this is about two meanings of the word deny. Here again. Now, if you can figure out a place where you can exist in these two scriptures, then you're doing something other than faith. Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Now this doesn't get any more difficult, any more, until you finally come and see that everything your mind says is just a lie of the evil one. You're returning back You know, I haven't. I said I wasn't going to do this for a long time, but remember the seven mountains of your mind that the whore sits on? Now, we've studied what the meaning of the last was. The last one was what? Jerusalem. Who was occupying Jerusalem?
The Jebusites.
The Jebusites is hope. And that's what it means. You are wearied in the greatness of your way. It, you say it's not, there is no hope, or hope is worthless. But for you found the life of your own hand, your own arm of understanding, therefore you are not grieved. And that's a thousand times in all of our lives, in the human race's life. You are wearied in the greatness of your way. Yet you say it's not, there is no hope. For you find the life of your own hand, and that actually becomes your hope. You start looking toward the east. It's going to get better tomorrow. It's going to change when I get this. You look toward the west and see only your death. Now this is when they'll kill you and think they're doing God holy service. How can this be? That's why the next verses are so. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. So everybody understands this meaning of deny.
Well, what you're reading here is this Matthew.
The two different. You said there were two different. Meanings.
Well, we haven't come to the second.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to
well,
do that
the,
next time.
The first one, first deny in the Greek. What does that mean? Did you say?
Well, right now that's not important. I want to go through this first of all, seeing that denying him before men, before any situation really, is you deny him by saying, thinking, or acting as if you exist.
Okay.
That's the first meaning of deny. And this is, I beg of you, search the scriptures to see if these things be true. Find the loopholes so you can quit looking for loopholes. There's no loophole that can keep you alive. Would have the courage to say the loophole that you think is important. You know, I've said many, many times in the last 40 years, I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care what I think. I care what's the fruit of the cross, and that's the only thing. Amen? I smell rubber burning or something.
Yeah. I was thinking about this. Jesus, it makes it sound like Jesus is running to the Father and throwing you under the bus. I mean, hey, he's denying me, so I'm going to deny him. So, that's kind of childish. But I was thinking, it's a spiritual thing. You know, the life-giving Spirit of God is in us. And we can't put... It's hard to bring it down into meat.
Well, the meat is, if you're using your mind for any purpose, you're denying Him. That's the bottom line.
I'm kind of into the word deny. is it's a spiritual thing. It's hard to put words to spiritual things, but if we're one with Christ and one with the Father, then what you say, I'm not denying that. It's just as we let self take over, then we have separated from Christ and in effect denied Him by that separation, which is then sin, separation from life, and we're going about doing our own thing.
That's all your mind can do.
That is what it does.
That's all it can do.
Yeah.
I remember that's why what I was about to say I didn't finish. With regard to the names and meaning of each of those seven tribes, that Israel had to destroy every man, woman, and child of those seven tribes, each one of those has an office in you. And the easiest one to understand is not the first one. It's the easiest one to understand is the Jebusites. And the Jebusites is something you hope for. It's hope. And that's the final one to be destroyed. Because that's the nature of the beast. To worship towards the east, which is sunrise. Next day, then we'll be better. And everybody thinks that, including me.
Hope in and of itself is not bad.
Yes, it is.
Let me finish my sentence. Hope in the wrong place is what is evil. But our life with God is based in hope.
Give me some example of a good hope.
Well, faith, hope, love. The greatest is love. But our hope is in the resurrection. I mean, these are not.
Well, that's not even doubted.
Right. So hope in that is okay.
But the evil one is constantly trying to say this hope is a good one.
Right, the hope of the flesh, we spiritualize it and say, oh, this is good hope because
some life or whatever.
Yeah, I'm not.
I'm going to benefit.
The reason I'm not talking about the hope that gives us, what we've talked a thousand times, the only time that hope is used in the New Testament is what is about the resurrection. That's a given.
I just need to draw the distinction because you use it as a all hope is bad, but I don't think all hope is bad.
Well, but we're talking. Remember, there's the milk and then the meat of the word.
Yeah.
This is not the milk of the word. What I'm saying.
Okay.
This is the meat of the word. And the difference between that is we no longer have to put everything on the basis of what it takes for a child to understand. Now this is it's not the hope ultimate, but it is the ultimate in terms of what hope means, and that's why it's necessary to accomplish all the other things, to understand that hope is anything that puts you in the picture.
Even in Hebrews 11?
Well, especially in Hebrews 11, because that's the revelation of Christ in all his form.
So that's the revelation you suppose in the New Testament you're referring to.
Right. Because they saw Christ.
Right. Aren't you talking hope that's generated in mind and picked up?
Well, tell me one hope that isn't generated in your mind.
Well, there's hope in faith, which you can't see or perceive. But our hope.
But that's only a childish thing. That's what I'm saying. We're not talking here about the milk of the word. We're talking about the meat of the word.
So you don't make a distinction.
But I'm talking to you, not to somebody, a brand new believer. I'm talking to you who should know these things, should see the sin of bringing you into the picture of using your mind for any purpose, because there's nothing your mind can do that's of faith. All you will do is try to put God's name on no faith. You'll give a thousand examples and try to justify it. That's why it says, "You are they that justify yourselves before men."
Is there also in the New Testament I don't know it as well as you do. The hope of glory is there.
Right. Again, that's only about the resurrection.
As well as Hebrews 11.
Which scripture are you talking about? Hebrews 11 is a big, long...
I know that, but the hope of glory, I don't know which scripture that is.
Well, it doesn't matter what it is. The hope of glory still is the hope of the resurrection.
Okay.
There's no use of hope that isn't about... It's never about what your mind will come up with. The hope that's used in the scripture is always about the faithfulness of the resurrection. Its hope is not used in the Old Testament. Well, that's true. It's used once in the Old Testament. And it means when there's a big storm going on and you're in a safe place, like in a cave. And so that's just one of a thousand scriptures that really is a revelation of Christ. Because the hope there is that you're hiding out in this safe place until Christ is revealed. Not just him and after the flesh, if Christ in his resurrection is revealed. Amen?
I hope someday Judy will see things my way.
It'll never happen. I think you also hope I will see things. I will see
someday
things.
We can talk and be understood with each other.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah. But I use those as examples of hope that will have no fruit. You know, that's bad hope. I don't need to worry about that. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But it came to me as a as a contrast of just.
But stop and think of the 100,000 times over the years. We could talk about them about many different subjects that you hoped that Judy and I would agree with you.
Lighten up.
Right.
See correctly.
Right.
Yep, that's true.
And so the issues we could go over that you had problems with, that you don't have problems with anymore, because you see it.
Yeah, and in this thing, I don't have to have my way.
Never.
Never, I don't. And if I do, I'm most miserable because I ain't going to get it. You know, you and Judy have both proven over and over again that you cannot give me my way. You don't. It's not whether you're trying or not, whether she's trying or not. She's unable. But if I deny myself or abandon her, whatever we talked about, then the whole universe changes.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
It's just unbelievable. And, you know, after seeing that a couple thousand times, I'm sorry.
Remember that one of the big ones was that God was different in the Old Testament than he is in the New, or Christ wasn't in the Old Testament. That there was a difference.
Well, I still say that made a difference in Christ came in the flesh.
All right. Take a big guy.